Derech Hashem. Nothing.
Yes.
February 15th.
Yeah. All right, so the Bayis Shalom, the Bayis Shalom has three forms of giving people what they deserve. There's this world, which is the worst place to get it. There's after death, which is, oh, that's cool. And then there's after Tzvias Mason, which is even cooler. Are you going home today, Rabbi Klesko?
You like paper on?
You're saying after Tefillah Samaysim is even better than getting it, Bill and
Bubba? What do you know, Gabriel? Right?
Yes.
Jack's got my stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's got it in.
What?
He's had it for a while.
Have you seen your rabbi?
He messed up.
What
do you want? One piece.
Rabbi.
He messed up. He told you he messed up. No.
We're saying that so Tzvias Hamesim is better than an Olam Haba?
Better than Olam Hashamas.
Olam Haba is...
Let's not use the word Olam Haba because it's very confusing.
I understand, but we just...
This world, Olam Hashamas, Tzvias Hamesim,
Ekkas Tzvias Hamesim. After Tzvias Hamesim, is that Olam Haba?
That is Olam Haba.
That's Olam Haba, right. Not everyone makes it to Olam Haba. But to make it to Olam Haba has got nothing to do with what you do in Olam Shabbos. You can't do anything in Olam Shabbos.
Olam Shabbos is like you get something similar to what you get in Olam Haba.
Yeah, but to get to Olam Haba, that's decided before you get to Olam Shabbos. That's decided.
So we're saying that Tchias Amesim is Olam Haba?
But it's decided
last
in this
moment
world.
Of life.
Sorry?
After the life extinguishes from the person.
Yeah. We're saying that Tchias Amesim is Olam Haba?
Yes. Call Yisrael Yisrael Chaluk Olam Haba. All of Yisrael has a Chaluk Olam Haba. Oh, Nema. Yamech. And your nation. That's
right. Everything is on Hedron.
Everything is on Hedron. Kulam Tzadikim. All of Yisrael Tzadikim.
Where did you get this from?
Paskin, Yeshaya, Perek, Tzamek.
Kulam Tzadikim.
The Amech and your nation. Kulam Tzadikim. The all Tzadikim. The Pasuk. This is a Pasuk. The Amech, Kulam Tzadikim. Doilam! Yeshu Aretz, they will inherit the land. Neitzim Atoi, they plant them, and they sprout out. Masi Yodai, he made them, Hashem made them. It is poyer for the purpose of bringing glory to Hashem. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba, that's what the Mishnah says. And the Pasuk says the same thing. What's the next few words of the Mishnah? And these are the ones that don't have a chelik olam haba.
Is that or a chutz?
No, it's ve'elu.
So it's saying, like people.
So the Mishnah contradicts itself.
Like these people who don't like accept Hashem are pretty much like not Jewish.
Yeah, but there's lists of people that are Jewish. It says Yeravim ben Nevat doesn't have a chelik olam haba. He was Jewish. He was very Jewish.
So what did he do wrong?
He was chayte yomachti as a rabbim. He sinned and he caused other people to sin.
Yeah, but wasn't he like this great gadol and lamdus and all that?
Yeah, isn't that awesome? If you learn something from this, that being a great gadol and lamdus doesn't stop you from sinning and causing other people to sin. And when people like that sin, we call other people to sin. It's called a major catastrophe. Because everyone follows them. So, proficiency in the world, books of the Torah is not a guarantee.
You're a rabbi.
Son of a buck. Rabbi. So the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba. Eilu Sheinlam Chelik Olam Haba.
Do you ever say Yimach Shemo for Jews?
It's not a good idea. Kazmış, once heard somebody say you knock shemayim on someone, and he asked the person, he said, if the guy would die, would you let his wife get married without chalitza or even? Someone said, what do you mean? He said, this guy would die, he's a Jewish guy with a Jewish wife, and you just said you knock shemayim, let his name be obliterated.
How do you get
So the Chazanu said, if this guy would die and leave over a Jewish wife without kids, and she's 40 Yibam, would you tell her she doesn't need Yibam Macharita? And the guy said, what? And he said, the whole purpose of Yibam Macharita, Shalai Yimacha, Shmai Bisho, his name should be obliterated. So you claim his name is already obliterated, so that's why I tell you Yibam Macharita. Jews. Actually, a very big person before you do something like that. Mark Shemaya, Jews. Nowadays.
No, I'm saying, I'm like.
The dark cloud, the answer is no.
Even if they were great Rishayim and lived to, hundreds of years in the past.
The dark cloud, no. But ain't no chelik l'ilam haba. Ain't no chelik l'ilam haba. So you just contradict yourself. Call Yisrael. Everybody at this table is going to get their jelly beans, and these are the people at this table that aren't going to get jelly beans. Well, you see, though, you worked that out, Sarah. No problem. Well, you're getting it, but you just don't get it.
Everyone except for you.
I didn't say except. It doesn't say except. It says everyone has, and these are the ones that don't. Plus, you want to know the answer?
Yeah.
The Rebbe of Moshe Shapiro says it doesn't say everybody has a Kelev Olamah, but it says Kol Yisrael. That means you need to have some kind of need to identify with what Yisrael is. All Yisrael does, if you're not Yisrael, you don't get. We have people, but they're not Yisrael. And Yisrael has a meaning. The word Yisrael does not mean born. The word Yisrael does not mean somebody's born to a Jewish father. That's not what Yisrael means. Yisrael. The word Yisrael means Yashar. You go on a straight line. Straight line has a beginning. It's an end. It's got a middle. That's what Yisrael means. You came from somewhere. You have a destination. And you're going there. And you're in the process of going there. That's Yashar Kerem. You want to make a line across the table because you want to chop the table in half. You don't need to draw a line across the table. You take a ruler, you do one notch there at this end, one notch this end, one notch in the middle, and you're fine. You go from here to there. Fine, from here to there, you're fine. Once you have a beginning, you have a middle, you have an end, you're going to go straight. That's the Asher Kale. Someone that doesn't believe in PSMA. He's in the front of your mom. So he has a past. He's got a present. He's got no future. So some says if you have a future, where are you going to go?
So you need to have like a plan, so to say?
You need to know where you came from. You need to know why either you were created in order to go somewhere. And you have to be part of that plan. Be part of a process. The other the husband also, that's Yashar Kerem. Yashar Kerem. So call Yisrael! Everyone is Yisrael, Yisrael Kerem. It's Masha from the Miri. if somebody has a proper, you know, perspective of life, where he came from, where he's going, and food, so he can make it even if he has a minority, even if he doesn't have a majority. He can, you know.
What?
Guy has his head on his shoulders and he has the right perspective.
Even if he's not a Jew.
Even though, no, even if he doesn't have the majority of his famous mitzvahs, his stomach.
Who says that?
The Navy.
Yeah, after they burn in hell.
Must right. No one says it's going to be easy. It's possible from the Navy.
You said that what?
It's master from the Navy that there's two ways of making it. One is that the majority of mitzvahs are theirs, and nobody knows exactly how you do that, but you know, things are easy. Because the way we measure it is not the same way. How you measure it.
Here's how we measure it. Bottom line, it could happen.
God care, yeah, it could happen. And the other way is to know where you came from, know where you're going to, be in the process, and believe. Emunah. Have the proper emunah. Emunah could get a person over. Yisrael! Call Yisrael, Yisrael, not Kalikon Mahabah. Don't say all Jews. Call Yisrael! For some people that they get rewarded in this world, there's some people that get rewarded by the other summer. There's some people that get rewarded in some people get rewarded in some amazing. The Mishnah says I love Haba, right?
Yeah.
It brings a pasuk. Nature Matai. Maisa Yada is poet. Nature Matai is it's proud from my planting. The Mishnah calls that Olam Haba. Why is sprouting from planting Olam Haba? Because when somebody dies, you take the body, you plant it in the ground, and then that comes Kiyas HaMeisim, it sprouts out. The Mishnah's talking about it, Kiyas HaMeisim, sprouting from the planting.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice. Alright, so that's that paragraph.
Wait, so which, which Mishnah says that sprouting from the planting is Olam Haba?
Mishnah is in Hedron of Tzadik of the Ash. So that's the Olam Haba definition. It's Kiyas HaMeisim is Olam Haba. If somebody doesn't believe it's Kiyas HaMeisim, so Hashem says you don't believe it, it's not part of your reality, you don't believe it. Some people deny it. They don't believe it. They will not. They will not.
It's not going to happen after that.
They will not believe it. It's not possible. Something's dead and dead.
Yeah? They live in Olam Chamos?
Well, there's different levels of fear. There's people that they believe in the Shama coming together with the goat. They believe in the Shama separates from the goat. And the Shama separates from the goat. And if the Shama not coming back into the goat, it's going to make the goat better than it was before. They don't believe that. There are people that believe, you know, they disbelieve that. There's people that don't believe there's anything after that. Yeah, yeah, there are all levels of believers. I mean, the Gemara Sanhedrin even talks about some of them.
Do any of them get Olam Haba?
You don't care what you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. Belief is the building block of your universe. You had your eyes closed. I should have known better than to start off with an ADHD day. Today's ADHD day. What? ADHD day. Yes, ADHD day. Okay.
Gosh, at least I'm planning.
Are you pitching now?
What?
Are you complaining?
No, I'm complaining. Listen to them.
Always
all do all day. Correa.
You can shut up right now. Right now.
You're so young. Starts snapping his stick.
An exercise which is bought from. An exercise.
Guys, keep talking.
Please.
Keep talking.
Shut up.
You get so riled up. About the bad food and the bad service at the Korea.
Nah, the service is
good.
Who cares if they're wild?
The only thing bad about the Korea
is the staff is nasty.
What?
The only thing is that they don't serve us. They don't give them up.
Doesn't matter.
Once
you're suffering, you give enough.
They give you enough
food to live on.
They,
okay, so they should give us bread and water, because that's enough to live by.
Yes.
No, because it's enough to live by. You can live on it.
Stop, he's a devil.
They should give us pills. They should give us vitamin pills. They should give us bread, water, and vitamin pills. That's what we're paying for. That's what we're paying for. Right.
We're not paying you for anything.
He's right.
I've never had freezers. I'll have it
again. Okay, I'm out.
No, no, no.
I just heard that. I'm out. I'm gone.
Children, please come back.
He just dropped an F-bomb. Did he just drop an F-bomb?
Yeah. What am I saying?
He'll do it.
You ever do special? You want what you eat? You want what you eat?
Yeah.
They're all crap. Is that what you're saying, huh?
You are what you do.
Meaning what? You are a mitzvah?
That means right. You do a mitzvah.
It's pretty funny.
You do a mitzvah. Then, besides doing a mitzvah, you become mitzvah. And you're not the same person after you do the mitzvah than you were before you do the mitzvah. You know what Uncle Moshe is?
Mitzvah men.
That's right. You know why they're mitzvah men? Because they do mitzvahs.
When you do a mitzvah, you're a different person?
Yes.
And vice versa, of course.
Yeah, you're very, very quick.
I'm starting to get it.
The person, you know, the person does a mitzvah is a mitzvah.
What is that? What is that? The
you are what you do. If someone does Nevera, he's Nevera. You ever heard the Mishnah? Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah? Avera, Guerrera, Severa.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes they make the train in your school, and you know, and then you get out at Mitzvah, Guerrera's
Mitzvah train?
Mitzvah, Guerrera's Mitzvah, Vera, Guerrera's Severa.
You ever ride the Mitzvah train, Rabbi?
The hell you get?
I've never seen a Mitzvah train, Rabbi. Mitzvah, Guerrera's Mitzvah, Vera, Guerrera's Severa. And Chaim Volozhiner explains. I guess we could do the Poshup shot. Let me do the deeper shot. The Poshup shot is you do a mitzvah and you get a good feeling about it. And you did it right. It was really cool. So then that gives you the incentive to do the next mitzvah. And the bear is, the guy develops bad habits. And he gets stuck in it. Chaim Volozhiner says there's a lot more. There's a lot more than this. He said, if someone does a mitzvah, I guess that. Have you ever hugged God?
Yeah.
Have you ever hugged God?
Yeah.
You're dyslexic. Have you ever hugged God? It says in the Torah you're supposed to hug God. It says a bo tidbuk.
Who says this?
Chaim Volozhiner. It says a bo tidbuk. The boy Tidbuck means you're supposed to cling. Just to hug God. So the Gemara says, how could you hug God? You get burnt up. It's not. How do you hug God? The Torah says you have to hug God. And how do you hug God? You're going to get consumed. You're going to get burnt up. So the Gemara says, the way you hug God is to be like him. Emulating. Gotta get a job in a corporation. So before the interview, what do you do? Come on, let's be serious. What do? You want to get into your big interview, a job interview for a corporation. What do?
You study what the interviewer likes.
That's right. You do your research. You find out if he likes followers, if he likes people who are independent thinkers, original thinkers. You do your research on the corporation, you find out that, you read through all 23 books of their financial statement, you come prepared, you wow the socks off of them, you're ready, gung-ho, ready to do it. I'm here, I'm going to be a team, I am a team player, I am pumped. I am going to make this company, we're going to bring it to the next level. We're going to work together. It's not a question about who gets credit. It's about about getting the job done. I'll take work home. I don't work on a time clock. You go do it, you know. You're like slaves. And then you know what happens? You get a job. And then you work your way up. You get closer and closer and closer. And your office, your square feet get, you get 16 square feet off instead of 12 feet. You start out in a broom closet. And in the end, you end up getting a view. It's a picture window. And your office gets closer and closer. And it was. So in the end, you've got your picture window, you've got, 200 square feet office. All you got to do is walk out of your office next door, you're by the force. It's called access, it's called comfort. And then your close family doesn't move without you, you're indispensable. How did you do it? How'd you get close? Did you hug him? You got close.
We want 10 plus 40 guys, you understand?
How'd you do it? Did you hug him? You did hug him. You gave him what he wanted.
More.
You showed him that you are the one that he wants to get what he wants. You're the one, because you're the one. Somebody else will be a shlam mazel with a chalaria. Shlam mazel with a chalaria. But you are the one. You have God. You have God a being that's the only one in the entire world that can do what you can do with you, and that's what he wants, and you be there for him. because he wants you to be the man, and only you can be there, and then you get close to him. That's hugging you. That is hugging you, though. That's what the Gemara says. If a guy does a mitzvah, every mitzvah that a guy does,
as
he's becoming more and more what Hashem wants it to be. He gets closer. He changes. He's a different person. He's learned. He's brought into himself godliness. He's become more godly. He's different. You know, Karim Belosher says that for a person like that, it's easier to do another mitzvah. Because when you do one mitzvah, you become godly. So for a godly person, mitzvah is like breathing. You can do another mitzvah. What happens when some of those mitzvahs? He gets fired. He gets demoted. In corporate America, there's something called access. But the higher you are on the totem pole, the easier it is for you to present your issues to the boss. And if you have no access, then you've got your little cubicle and you got your job, and nobody ever notices what you're doing. You can work as hard as you want and put in extra hours, and the guy up front, the guy who makes the promotion, never finds out about it. No access. If you have no access, you may as well, you know, just curl up in a little ball on the floor, because you never get out of that cubicle. Something that doesn't obey with us, this is not what he wants. This is not who he wants to be. It's got to have a relationship with him. Get out of here, go. Go down to the basement. Look at some little thing, filing papers. I don't want to see it. So it's very easy to do a various when you're talking about. So when people do mitzvahs, they change when you do a various change. I want to tell you something else. One of the biggest weapons that the Yitzhar has against a person,
the both things,
is when a person does an avera, the Yitzhar uses that against the person.
The person.
Because when someone does an avera, he changed. And what does the Yitzhar tell the person? He used to be a good person. When you did this, and because of this, you did this, therefore you are not what you used to be. It's all true. And therefore, you no longer love. God doesn't want to hear your prayers. God's not interested in you. Give up. Forget it. Because you're never going to make it. Because you messed up. And you became something which God doesn't want. God rejects. So you might as well go out and have a good time. Because you're never going to make it. It's a hard, you know, he's pretty smart. He's going to test it for you. So there's two, you know, doing good things makes a person into a good person, doing bad things makes a person into a bad person, and most people are a mixture. And if someone's a mixture, God doesn't want to see him either. He can have good things, but if he's got the badness, mixed in, God doesn't want to see him. So that's why there has to be a way of getting this, the change that's in a person, to getting that out of the person. There has to be a way of getting the change out of the person. And that's called Yisurin. Now Yisurin is in different places.
What do you mean by Hashem doesn't want to see abandoning?
Hashem doesn't want to be someone that has a part of him which is rejected, which is disgusting, which is the opposite of what God wants that person to be, which is anti, which is...
So therefore he doesn't want to see you?
He doesn't want to see, he doesn't want anything to do with a person that he has even the slightest amount in him. Let me ask you a question, you know? Guy has a terrible, disgusting odor.
Terrible, disgusting what?
Terrible, disgusting odor.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's terrible. He's a good person. He's a nice person. There's things that he does, you know. There's things that he does that have a value to them. But nobody wants to be around him. Now, what's wrong with him? All he has is a terrible honor. What's wrong with him? It means he's not a good person? What if it's not his fault? What if he's born with it? It's not his fault. He was born with it. It's a genetic. He was born with it. He can't get rid of it. Is that the whole person? Would you define this person is in bad odor? Is that the whole person? Listen, it's like such a small, insignificant part of a person. It doesn't count. But you can't stand to be with him because he has disgusting odor. God doesn't tolerate anything that's not the way he wants it to be. This world is temporary, but it's just this world. God doesn't tolerate anything that's not exactly the way he wants it to be. There's no overlooking it. Yisurin. Yisurin is pain. Yisurin is pain. Pain. Literal pain. Yisurin's death. Yisurin's death. Why does a person feel pain? Does anyone know where it comes from? I wish somebody would tell me.
With nerves. Heart.
Why does someone feel pain?
Emotional or physical?
Huh? Something that he dislikes?
Pain comes from pressure. If the bone is pressed up against the nerve, it's going to cause pain. Why? Because the bone and the nerve are trying to take up the same space. The bone is harder than the nerve. The nerve is more sensitive. And the nerve is getting pressured by the bone and the reaction of pain. So pain is a result
of
forces working against each other. Resistance.
What about getting burned, for example?
It's also a resistance.
All that pressure?
What?
Pressure is resistance.
What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? How water?
It's a struggle between the fire and the skin.
Where is your pressure at?
Pressure is an example.
Okay, so it's not always pressure.
Exactly. It's always going to conform to the rules of the guidelines as an example.
Okay, fine. So
a person feels emotional pain. We feel when someone feels constricted.
It depends on the pressure on them.
Somebody wants to be the best basketball player in the world to ever watch. We can't, he makes 20 shots out of 20. 99 out of 100, he misses one. He's awesome. How many people can make 100 shots in a row? But if you miss one, you can't be in the pros.
Yeah, that's right. That's not 100 shots?
What's the pain? What's the pain?
Everything.
Where's
nothing.
The pain come from? It's limited. It's limited. It's limited. He wants to control the thing. Keep going. Every single time. On the mark. Swish. Just a basketball player could do it. Okay, maybe not for him, but could you ever imagine a professional basketball player standing right in front of the basket and not making it in? Ever?
Yeah, and they miss free throws all the time.
Right in front, no opposition, no nothing, just
free throws?
Right there, yeah.
Can't they imagine. Go for free
throws. Put away.
Can't imagine. Both hands on the ball, all the time in the world.
Yeah, they miss them.
They miss
sometimes.
Them? They're morons. They
no,
should be
because they're under pressure.
Not under pressure. I'm talking about standing right in front of it. No
yeah,
one,
like when there's no one
around,
in the gym, like they can always make it.
Nobody watching them. No one, nothing.
I'm not talking about a foul.
You can't miss. They'll just keep. They miss. It's a freak of nature. That's like me missing the table when I'm going like this. You understand? What are the chances I'm going to miss the table if I'm going like this?
Depends how nervous you are.
No, nervous. Why is you heard my example. What are the chances I'm going to miss the table?
No, you're not going to.
You have a seizure.
That's possible. I'm just saying, but it's like the numbers was just. Basketball player, the Harlem Globetrotters. They close their eyes, throw it up behind. You ever heard of the Harlem Globetrotters? Mm-hmm. The Harlem Globetrotters was a post-professional team. They were owned by from Jew in Chicago. What's his name? His name is George Sapristy. They were owned by a Jewish guy in Chicago. They were professional, they were entertainers. They weren't professional basketball players. Professional basketball players could never play them. They can't beat them. They cannot beat them. They can't play professional ball.
They also travel a lot.
Right, to travel.
They don't really have the rules.
They are there. There's no one to compare. Yeah. They do things that nobody could do. They don't miss any shots ever.
What are you talking about?
Harlem Globetrotters. They don't miss shots.
You think they're better than pros?
Yes. What they do. I guess we have like a full court press and you can block the shots here. But what they do, pros cannot do what they do. Pros cannot make you know, shots from behind the backs, go like this. They don't practice it, they don't try, and if they would do it in the game, they would get knocked to the bench. You don't do that in the game, they used to come to my school because the grandson of this guy's atmosphere, he was an Eric Crown.
Really?
Yes, and they'd come by, they'd come to the gym, they'd shoot some baskets. It was really awesome. I remember one of them. I'll go tell us. They come by, they pick up the grandson. It was really cool.
Was there a night activity on top of camp? Those niggas around.
Good, yeah, you're laughing though, you can't do what they do. This is like, doing like this. Yeah, this. Pain comes from being restricted. That's what pain comes from. All pain comes from being restricted. Even the pain of a burn comes from being restricted. The skin is pulled tight. It's what burns do. It stretches things. It's also, that's what it does. The way they treat burns is to try and soften the skin to let it release. Pain comes from tension. Tension. That's where pain comes from, tension. You sort of. Pain comes from someone trying to live and not being allowed to live 100%. Pain comes from someone trying to live and not being able to live 100%. Emotionally, they want to live, and then there's something restricting them from living a full life. It's pain. If somebody gets his arm chopped off, so then he wants to live with both hands and he can't, it's pain. It's physical pain. Pain comes from restricted movement, restriction. Pain is death. It's just not total death.
Why aren't you in pain when you go to sleep?
When you what?
When you go to sleep.
You are in pain.
It's not painful. It's refreshing.
Just because you're restricted doesn't. It's just because restriction isn't pain. Pain is restriction.
No, because the Mishnah says that 60th of death.
Stand, but
the Rebbe Velazquez says that the people that after the 160th of death means that during sleep they experience 160th of what they're going to experience after death, and Rishayim to go to sleep do experience pain when they go to sleep.
What?
And tzaddikim experience the nukha when they go to sleep. Because
so,
does that answer your question?
Nobody.
I don't remember.
It's probably like off the subject, but if you have like a bad dream.
Ever.
If you have like a bad dream, is that like really bad? Because then that's just.
You see, the thing about dreams is the Gemara says that somebody has a good dream, the commission was telling them something.
Negative.
That it's going to happen to them in the future. So it's a sign that something good's going
to
happen to you.
Or
if somebody has a good dream, Hashem feels that person is so evil, he's past the point of no return. And Hashem doesn't want him to be nervous. Hashem wants him to keep on doing his prayers. So Hashem gives him a good dream, so he feels, everything's going good for me. So you really never know why you're having a good dream.
What about a bad dream?
The same way, because the Hashem wants to scare a person.
I'm not saying it's a dream. I don't know. It's like a wet dream,
It's very difficult to know what the dream is. Practically?
Huh? Like a snake is dreams, you'll be able to have like three times?
What is the dream about?
Nothing specific.
This is dreams and stuff. There's very few people that are good with dreams.
They're what?
They're good with dreams. I mean, the Gemara says if somebody wakes up from a particularly alarming dream, you should do a tapas kalam.
Yeah, I There's a kid in my school last year who had like some bad dreams, and then we set it for him.
I've had some scary dreams.
I
had some scary dreams that came true. Really scary stuff.
Like what?
I dreamt that somebody passed away, and then I was at the funeral, and I saw the coffin, all the people, the mourners, and the speeches, and then I woke up and I realized it was a dream. So I called up my mother and I said, how is this person? She said, I'm fine. And he said, your children, your father just died last night.
Wow. That's it.
What else?
It's not
for now.
Later.
Tomorrow.
So the Gemara says, every kalayim, even if it's true, it's going to have things that are not true. But that was scary. That was very, very scary. That was very, very
true.
So that's what you saw him up for.
You said it could be that Hashem knows that he's already too far gone and he doesn't want him to change
Hashem
his path.
To give him a good dream. Let's give him a good dream.
Why would Hashem do that?
Yeah. Same thing Rashi said,
right? Yeah, Rashi said at a certain point when Hashem says that's it. You're going to have a good life from now on.
Why don't you just, like,
kill him?
Why don't you just kill him?
But if he already thinks
he's no chance, and if God thinks he has no chance, then...
No, but the guy still has a Bechir. He doesn't take away his Bechir. He just takes away his Bechir.
No, if God loves everybody, then... Like, obviously, it's not like there's a limit to how much...
God loves someone that steps on every single thing that God wants us to do. Yeah, he loves what the guy could be. He doesn't love what he's doing.
He recreated every second, even though he knows
yes,
he is.
That's a chesed. There's some people that are recreated just because if they wouldn't be recreated, so whoever would see him disappear would lose him.
So regardless, both of those are sins.
God wouldn't do it like hello.
Hello.
Make somebody disappear, then it's obviously make some everybody's memory of that person disappear.
You talk like Harry Potter's professor. Alright, so we talk about Yisroel. And you've had it?
What?
You've had it?
Oh, I thought...
That's what he talks about Yisroel, that since people have a part of them that changed because of the good things they did, and they have a part of them that changed because of the bad things they did, so the part that changed because of the bad things in them has to die. Hashem doesn't want to kill the whole person because it's God loves the person. So Hashem brings Yisurim, and Yisurim is a partial death. This might be a little different than you've thought of before. Yisurim is a partial death. And that part dies, and that's great.
Great. How can God give up on a person without his faith?
God will give up.